The following program is brought to you by Podcast One. Recorded live backstage, this is Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Now here's your host, Rory O'Malley.
Hey everyone, Rory O'Malley here, your host for the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. We are all reeling from the recent events of the coronavirus taking over so many of our lives and keeping us indoors at home. The Geffen Playhouse is currently closed and we are unsure of exactly when things are going to get back to normal, just as every other place is uncertain. But we are still reaching out to the theater community on this podcast to see how they're dealing with this crisis. Today, I'm speaking to Eva Price, a Broadway producer. She currently has a hit on Broadway called Jagged Little Pill, the music of Alanis Morissette's album, famous album from the 90s, Jagged Little Pill, which opened just a few weeks before all of this happened and Broadway shut down on March 12th. I'm so grateful that she has taken the time to speak with us and let us know what's going on Broadway and what's going on in her heart and mind and, you know, just having a better understanding of where the theater community is at. And that's what we're going to try to do over the next several weeks, is reach out to people who are affected by this shutdown and by making sure that our artists and audiences are safe and secure and at home. This is my conversation with Eva Price. Well, I'm really, really grateful. We're recording now, so great. Let's dive in. Thank you, Eva Price, for being here on the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted at such an unusual time for everyone, but especially the theater community. You are a big-time producer on Broadway, currently with a hit called Jagged Little Pill, and you won the Tony last year for the revival of Oklahoma, which was one of the most beautiful theatrical experiences I've ever had. And so I would love to just gush and talk about theater and fun stuff. But my first question is, how are you? Are you okay?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that. And thank you for saying all those wonderfully sweet things. I am okay. I go in and out of good to better. I don't think I've been great, which is unfortunate because that had always been my stock. How are you, Eva? I'm great. Yeah. So I haven't been great in a little while, but I am okay. I'm trying to find regiment and order and schedule to follow, and I'm trying to stay in contact with my people, my cast, my collaborators, my colleagues, my office, in as many thoughtful and communicative ways, like Zoom, like FaceTime, and I find that that's really helpful. I actually just got off a call. Every day at 2:30, we do an office check-in on Zoom, and we theme it. And today was tie day. So, you know, we were all wearing funny ties. So now I'm in a better mood than I was 3 hours ago when I sat on a Zoom conference call about the state of the live arts. So I'm okay.
I know what you're saying about how you usually just respond, I'm doing great, because we're so lucky to do what we do. And, you know, like that's the answer. We're great. But okay is pretty damn good right now. Saying we're okay, that's about as good as I can do as well. Yeah. And we're healthy for now. You know, we're going to have to fight and make sure that our loved ones are healthy. And that's what we're grateful for right now. Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Jagged Little Pill, your current show. You have a few shows on, but that one just opened and, you know, was riding off of these fantastic reviews. My husband, I was in New York for about 2 weeks rehearsing the LA production of Hamilton, and my husband got to go see it and he absolutely loved it. There's standing ovations in the middle of the show. It's a huge, huge, phenomenal success. And I know what it's like to open a new show on Broadway and to have the excitement around it. And it's even when it's the easiest of experiences, it is so hard to get to that opening night. You get to that opening night, you have stellar reviews, you've done what you needed to do, you've mission accomplished, and something unimaginable happens and Broadway shuts down. The show must go on. However, it is not going on right now. Can you walk us through that moment, you know, of going from this exhilarating excitement to the reality of what's happening right now?
Yeah. So, you know, we're the most recent show to have opened throughout January and February until West Side Story opened. And so we were enjoying this really interesting time throughout December, throughout January, sort of celebrating this moment of being the last show to open in 2019, and the most recent of the Broadway, of the full Broadway season, and the most recent opening. And all sorts of people were coming to the theater. All sorts of people were starting to discover us. The emails, the texts, the messages that we were getting from a lot of people in LA, a lot of people in show business, a lot of people in rock and roll, a lot of people in pop culture, a lot of people from the activist community and the political community, because that was starting to gear up, right? We were really entering an election season, and there's some really important topics that are discussed and dealt with in Jagged Little Pill. And so we were starting to get the awareness of, you know, Elizabeth Warren, who saw us in Boston, and, you know, and Pete Buttigieg and others who were really, you know, Kamala Harris, and they were really interested in us, and, you know, Joe Biden. And so it was just exciting to be part of a show that felt so alive and so present and so of that moment. So obviously when the shutdown happened, it was a shock, but also not, you know, we are not blind to what was happening. And you could start to feel the tension turning sort of mid to late February. You know, the news out of China was obviously devastating, and you were hearing what was beginning to happen to theater there. And we are a global business, as much as the finance industry or the film industry or any industry. We all have either colleagues or productions of our shows happening in Asia. And so we knew what was happening. We knew that the danger was growing. And you very slowly start to see it in trackable ways, in daily ticket sales, in the searches that people were searching for on the internet, where, you know, lots of questions about were tickets refundable. Tourism started to take a bit of a decline, and so you started to track against that. So it was emotionally a roller coaster, because things were so great and exciting. I mean, I think 5 out of the 8 weeks in at the top of 2020, we were over $1 million every week in our box office, and we're in a small 1,100 seat house. You know, that's great. That's great business. So it was a roller coaster, and the closure, the March 12th was the day. It felt as though the ground was slipping underneath all the days leading up to that day from about the third week in February on. And I had been a lead producer of Oklahoma last year, and I had been a lead producer of a couple plays on Broadway, but it was the first time I was a lead producer of a new musical, sort of one of this size. And to be part of those conversations and to be part of the inner circle that was observing and absorbing the news was very stressful and very scary. But also, I definitely felt the community around me, and that's something I'm never going to forget, to be living in a trauma like this experience, but to at the same time feel absolutely supported and connected, is something that will absolutely last the rest of my professional career, and has taught me indelible things about what it means to not only be a part of this community, but to be a leader in the community.
Yeah, I think that's something that I really wanted to talk to you about. is leadership. And like, how can we know how special the theater community is, you know, on personal levels and, you know, just how it reaches out to every branch of community in New York City and communities all across the country. What does leadership need to look like right now by producers, by theaters across the country? What do we need to do to show good leadership?
Leadership needs to be optimistic. It has to be positive. It has to be hopeful. We are a very suspect business to begin with. And so if we don't lead and live in hope to begin with, I don't know how we do our job. We take risks every day with our shows, with our money and other people's money, and with something as abstract as art. And we make it a business. And so we absolutely have to be guiding and leading with hope and optimism. And that glass half full mentality has never been more important than this moment. And that's what leadership looks like. It also has to be bridge building. More than ever, leadership needs to be extending its arms and its legs and its heart to every sect of the community. So that's all the unions, that's all the associates, that's all the staff, and that's the structure that is from the infrastructure, from people and who own buildings and run buildings, to agencies, to the patrons. We have to be accessible and open. And I think this is not the time to be competitive or too ambitious or too self-serving. I don't think that's interesting to anybody, neither a patron nor a colleague. I also don't think it's helpful to the growth which is needed to get us back into business. I think that's what leadership looks like, Lori.
Well, I'm glad that we have you as one of our leaders, because I do think that that is incredibly important. I think that this entire thing has been about acceptance of what's happening, because it's so surreal. You know, my mother, who's 73 years old, is staying with us here in Los Angeles. She came in from Cleveland on March 6th to help with our one-year-old while I'm opening up Hamilton here in Los Angeles. Wow. And it turned into, you know, we don't know when she's going to go back, you know? So no. I guess when I hear her say, I've never experienced anything like this. You know, we understand that, you know, from our generation, but when you have somebody who was born at the end of World War II say that this is not normal, there's nothing to compare this to, that we have to constantly accept that this is a new reality, and every day we're trying to digest information and understanding. And I have to admit, you know, when Hamilton on March 12th was closed and we were sent home, It felt personal. You know, there's that moment where you're like, this is happening to me. And then you realize, oh, this is happening to my cast. This is happening to the entire city of Los Angeles. My God, this is happening to Broadway. This is happening to the world.
Right.
This is happening to the world. This is beyond anything that is about an individual. It's about a collective conscience coming together of understanding we need to work together to solve this common problem. And the theater community certainly is good at bringing people together. And this is just one of those things that we have to do. I wanted to talk to you about your concern about your actors, about your musicians and front of house, everyone that you have responsibility towards. The Broadway League had to come together and make some decisions really quickly. What was that like, having those conversations? And they've put together a plan for the next few weeks. Obviously, we don't know when the end date of any of this is, but how did it feel coming together with the Broadway League and kind of making those, hearing from them and figuring it out?
It was the first time I started to feel okay. Because like I said, that ground was slipping beneath all those days and weeks leading up, and being able to gather with my colleagues who all were facing the exact same turmoil and we're all in the same position. I mean, so often we are in opposition with each other. We are competing for dollars. We are competing for eyeballs. We are competing for awards. And it is rare that that no man or woman is bigger or better than the one next to him or her. And so that gave me both solace and comfort. I couldn't believe it. Like I was very much tackling is this really happening? Am I really in this room? I will say this. I had several moments during this process, actually, which I thought, I love being a female independent producer and an entrepreneur. But God, I miss corporate. I wish corporate could tell me what to do and what decision to make and how to face this. And that's honestly what the league really served as and did for us independent producers, for all the producers, and all the shows. And you know, it was easy. It was easy to come together. It was easy to make good decisions. It was easy. I wasn't in the room with the labor committee and the unions. I can't imagine that was easy, but it was emotionally easy to reach these conclusions because something had to be done and people had to be cared for. And you reminded me of another thought I'd been having when you were talking about your experience in Los Angeles is, you know, as we were going through this as a community, so was every other industry. I mean, that's the craziest thing. I mean, you look at like the hotel and restaurant industries and the mass layoffs that they've had to do. I don't yet know how this is affecting the real estate sector, but it's going to be awful. I'm certain of it. Financial industry as well. I mean, there, other than maybe the streaming services.
Yeah.
I don't know who can't create new content. So they're in a lot of trouble too. Like it is that collective feeling that actually helps the trauma feel less bad. And that was what the league and all the Broadway producers coming together and the industry coming together to solve this initial problem and answer these questions. That it was that MO that we had each day to reach resolution that just made us all feel better.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying because I've had many moments where I'm glad that I'm barely even in charge of my household. My husband makes all the decisions. So I'm glad I wasn't asked what to do, you know, that I felt like I had leaders who were showing us the way. They've just announced something that was obviously going to happen, but the delay in the Tony Awards. And, you know, that this is, it's funny because when I was in New York for 2 weeks in the beginning of mid-February, I was thinking, oh, I just wish that we were here a month later. You know, we would see all the shows. We were in New York back last May and we saw everything, including your Tony Award winning Oklahoma. And it was just so thrilling. It's such spring is such an exciting time. And it's all because it's leading up to the Tony Awards, our big family reunion of an event. And clearly with the huge reviews that Jagged Little Pill received and the buzz around it, it was going to be a big contender on Tony night and will be eventually. But could you talk about the importance of the Tony Awards to a new show and why we will have it eventually and what that award season is going to look like?
Yeah. We will have it because we must have it. Right. We are Broadway and Broadway is the Tony Awards and the Tony Awards are Broadway. So that's why we will have it. The how we will have it, I think is still the question mark. But it will be beautiful and it will be celebratory and it'll be game changing. That I know too. I have every faith in the folks that produce and put together the Tony Awards to know that. It is so important because it allows not only for future ticket buyers, which is vital, it is vital to know about our shows and to learn about our shows and to one day plan to see our shows, but it is vital because of every dreamer that is in every bedroom across the country, who is you 30 years ago, 20
sure.
years ago,
yep. who is Cleveland, Ohio, yeah.
Me 30 years ago, 25 years ago. It is for us and them who are in love with Broadway, who dream of one day working on Broadway, who are inspired by the work and the people of Broadway to see a little bit of themselves on national television and to be reminded that dreams really do come true. That is why it's so vital. And the process of running a Tony campaign and having a show that is eligible for the Tony Awards as a producer is the most glorious process, I think, in the sphere. I mean, opening the show and like crafting and getting the art done and ready, that is both painful and stressful,
right.
but is probably the most glorious. But after that, the next sort of greatest journey that your show gets to go on is the Tony Awards journey.
Right. And celebrating all the hard work. It's a celebration.
Exactly. Exactly. It is a celebration. It is a spotlight on it. It is a acknowledgement of it. And it's really good for the industry. It's really good for the show. It is the ink you get and the coverage you get and the knowledge of Broadway's existence to the average person is insurmountable for, yeah. for the show and for the industry. So, it is pretty devastating to lose out on the, what I'm calling the season, yeah. Of the Tony Awards campaign and the Tony Awards, experience. It is so joyous. It is so heart-wrenching when it goes either way for everybody. But it can be game-changing for a new musical, most of all. Like, that's just a fact. You know, for revivals, it's not necessarily game-changing. Shows still open or close, whether they win or lose. And the same is true for new musicals. Shows stay open or close, whether they win or lose. But there is a substantial statistical, empirical data that new musicals that compete well during the Tony season and win a Best Musical Award can have life-changing existences.
Yeah, more so especially than even the Oscars or the Grammys or Emmys, that the Tony Award being given to a new musical can definitely bring in business, because it's a lot of money to buy a ticket. So when you have something stamped on it that says, this one, people will say, okay, all right, I trust the community yeah. to tell me which one was the best this year to look at. And, you know, if it's a property that people have never heard of, that's a great seal of approval.
That's right. I love tracking, like, you know, Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, like, great example of like a show right. that was trying to find its footing, won the Tony and was able to recoup. You know, they're just, right. it is, and there are a handful of other shows, and there are plenty of beautiful shows that between reviews and word of mouth have beautiful lives, like Come From Away or Beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, that weren't Tony winners, but God, were they, Matilda, you know, they were really special, yeah. amazing musicals that found audiences and were important to the canon. But a Tony Award is something that you, as a producer of a new musical, you really hope for your show and for your cast and for your creative team, most importantly.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking and talking to you, I'm sure she's all right, but I was thinking, poor Alanis. She's like, you know, like, worked on a few things where it's like people who are new to Broadway or to theater who are participating in something, and they're like, wow, this is so different and new. And you have to be the one to say, this is not normal. Obviously she knows this is not normal, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to really say, no, Broadway does not cancel like this. This is completely strange. And to go on a journey of a Broadway journey with somebody who's not of that world and is participating, and your book writer, Diablo Cody, that she's, you know, also from another yeah. world. This is so strange. And you have to kind of be the communicator yeah. of that.
Yeah. Yeah. They both get it. I mean, I was actually texting with Alanis two nights ago, and you know, she is just talk about a leader, talk about a community organizer, talk about a spiritual guide. I mean, that's who she is. Look at every lyric she wrote. Everything's going to be fine, fine, fine. These are not times for the weak of heart. I mean, you bleed, you love, you learn. I mean, it's literally in every lyric she's ever written is this moment. So, you know, she gets it and she's incredibly empathetic for what everyone in the world is going through. But yeah, it is not the spring she was going to have.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, like this is everything is delayed, but it is not gone. I think that what I keep talking about is acceptance that this is happening. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that's maybe, you know, the Irish Catholic pessimist, that I'm trying to accept that nothing will ever come back, you know, like that it's all over. But that's not true. I have to accept that Broadway will be back. Things will go back to normal. It's been 2 weeks at the time of this recording that Broadway has been dark. That's not a lot of time, even though it feels like 2 months in these 2 weeks.
Feels like 2 years, Rory.
Yeah. Oh, it's every minute feels like a year. But, you know, we will come out of this. You and I can't speak to when. We are not doctors. We don't know. But when we do, it will probably be the most beautiful, glorious theatrical experience of our lives, no matter what we're performing. I keep envisioning playing the king again for that first audience. And that's kind of getting me through this right now. I don't know when that show is going to happen, but that is helping me visualizing that. And I'm sure that your first night of shows for what you have on Broadway right now is just keeping you going. What do you think theater will look like at that time? And I know we don't know, but you know, like what do you think will we be forever changed in some ways? What will a theatrical experience be?
Yeah, I was thinking about, I actually asked my girlfriend this the other day. I said, do you think we're going to be like those generations that lived through the Depression or lived through the Holocaust or lived through a war and look back and be forever changed? And I said it rhetorically, because we both were like, of course we will be forever changed. Sure. And especially, you know, we both work in the live entertainment and the live arts. So we'll be remarkably forever changed. And I believe the audience will be as well. And I believe the art form will be as well. I think when we first come back, there are going to be certain shows that aren't going to make as much sense anymore. And I don't think we know that yet. We don't know which ones those are, and we don't know exactly why. But something about either what they are saying or who they are just not going to feel right. So I think that is going to be a forever change, or at least it'll be a immediate change. I don't think it'll be a forever change, but that will be a change. I think the way we think about the risks with our shows will be changed, because who would have thought that this was, as we keep saying, unprecedented, you know, that word is everywhere. Who would have thought about that? So I think that will be a major change as we calculate risk and we think about how we mitigate risk and we think about how we plan and how we staff and what jobs as an artist choose to take and what producers you want to work for and what companies. I mean, some companies won't exist anymore. I mean, that's just a fact.
Right.
I hope not. I pray for not. But I believe people, shows, companies, entities, some may not come back from this. And so that's a forever change. So yes, the answer is yes, we will be changed. The art form will be changed. The business will be changed. But I, back to that optimist, back to that we live in hope mentality, I believe there will be several changes for good, several about connection and support and community, and about what stories we want to keep telling, and about how we want to treat people, and about how we want to welcome our audiences back, and about the need for community gathering. There's fear in it right now, of course, but I watch television and I see things as small as people getting on a subway and as large as people being at a dance club or at a concert. Right. And I'm jealous. Yeah. I can't wait to ride the subway again. Yeah. I can't wait to buy a smoothie. I think we're all so hungry for a live interaction, and there's nothing more live and nothing makes you feel more alive than theater, than 1,000 beating hearts responding to the same highs and lows of what's happening via artists and artistry. So if I'm turned on right now by a television scene of people eating pizza,
yeah,
because all I want to do is be back at a restaurant, then I have to imagine that the real life experience of being back in a theater is going to be mind blowing. It's going to be climactic. It's going to be exuberant, and it's going to feel so vital and so necessary to all the people back in those rooms and all the people on that stage. And that's something that we're going to be able to propel further.
I didn't know it would be possible for me to be even more grateful for being on a stage or being in an audience, being in a theater, our church. I did not know that there was room in my heart for more gratitude for that experience, but it is just already doubled. I am already just so excited for that moment. And, you know, it's going to be my personal mission. And I know everyone's mission to bring us back to that place. So you're right. I think that it's going to be a beautiful thing, and it is scary. And I think it's important to acknowledge right now, but we have reason to be optimistic, especially with leaders like you. Thank you so much for talking with us at the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. There's theaters all across the country who are looking to Broadway and leaders like you to see where you guys go and follow that leadership. So thank you so much for talking. I know there's so much uncertainty and it's hard to do that. So thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's inspired me. It's made me excited. It's actually going to make the rest of my day better to have had this conversation with you today. So thank you.
Thank you. That was my interview with Eva Price. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, brought to you by Podcast One.
Thanks for listening to Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to download new episodes every month right here on Podcast One, on the Podcast One app, or on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.